To DR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The announcement Saturday from the Carter Center that former President Jimmy Carter has begun hospice care at 98 years old has led to an outpouring of support. And ABC's Faith Abube says much of the support focused on his post-White House activities.
Now, he was even awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for helping bring peace in international conflicts, promoting human rights and social and economic development. And so many people, from lawmakers to everyday people, are just sending their well wishes on social media. We're told the Carter family is grateful for the concern. And according to Carter's grandson, the former president and former first lady, Rosalind Carter, are at peace.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken on the sidelines of the Munich Security Conference met with China's foreign minister. It's the first high-level diplomatic meeting since the U.S. shot down a Chinese balloon. The president of Norfolk Southern was in East Palestine, Ohio, pledging support for the community after the train derailment that led to the release of hazardous chemicals. This is ABC News. In Grosse Pointe Farms, Michigan, Saturday, the funeral service for Michigan State University sophomore Brian Frazier, one of three students killed in an on-campus shooting Monday. There was also a funeral held Saturday for Alexandria Verner. Arielle Anderson's funeral will take place this week. There's a manhunt underway in Philadelphia for the suspect who authorities say fatally shot a Temple University police officer in the head as that officer tried to intervene in a carjacking in North Philadelphia on Saturday. Meanwhile, more government agencies have joined the baby formula investigation.
Investigating last year's nationwide shortage of baby formula, the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission and the Federal Trade Commission. That's according to formula makers Abbott Labs, saying it's gotten a subpoena from the SEC. This is related to contamination concerns that triggered a huge recall and shutdown at Abbott's Sturgis, Michigan plant last year. The U.S. Justice Department also looking into it. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Brian Clark, ABC News.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The whole country is watching Wisconsin State Supreme Court race. Mike Moen explains why.
The outcome could either maintain the court's current conservative majority or flip the balance towards liberals. University of Wisconsin political scientist Barry Burton says aside from redistricting and voting laws, the court is expected to weigh in on abortion access with federal protections now overturned.
That seemed to elevate an 1849 law on the books in Wisconsin that essentially bans abortion services in the state.
There's now a lawsuit challenging the ban. Groups like the American Federation of Teachers have endorsed liberal candidate Janet Protasiewicz, who has suggested abortion rights should be protected. Meanwhile, conservative candidate Dan Kelly has received donations from one of the largest anti-abortion donors in the U.S. Lisa Graves of the watchdog True North Research says it's important for voters to know where so-called dark money is coming in from, as certain outside groups back candidates for reasons beyond judicial fairness.
What we've seen on the right is a focus on supporting judicial activists, in particular people who they believe will reverse legal precedents like Roe and other precedents that millions of Americans rely upon.
Kim Kohlhaas of the Wisconsin affiliates of the American Federation of Teachers says their endorsement of Judge Protasiewicz reflects a desire to maintain a fair government through the state's highest court.
We've seen cases in the past where it has very much been decided upon politics, and we need to have rulings that are based on the state constitution and democracy.
She says that aligns with calls to ensure access to health care, including reproductive care. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life,
and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on Oshkosh Air Support WISS and the Talk of Green Bay WGBW.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. Civic Media.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold, 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Welcome to Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Now, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
All right. Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. And he's back. None other than
Good
the Gravedigger himself.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Wipe the dust out your eyes. It's Monday morning. Let's go, baby.
Hey, man, listen, I got to ask you something before we get into all of this. You played all them years, and all you got was 7 sacks.
Earl, first of all, whoever the dummy was that made that intro is killing me. Number one, that was number two. Listen now, number two, I played with Reggie White, 200 sacks. I played with Santana Dotson, 75 to 85 sacks. I played with Sean Jones, 100 plus sacks. How in the world am I going to get a sack when everybody else stealing? My job was to make them look pretty and stop the run. Now, I did that.
That's right, nose guard. Taking up taking up 2 blockers, right?
As a nose guard, you got to make stuff happen.
Right.
We like an offensive lineman. We got to keep the linebackers clean.
Right.
So it's kind of like, You make tackles and sacks when you can.
So for people who don't understand that terminology, keeping the linebacker clean, what do you mean by that?
Well, that means by me taking on double teams or triple teams so the linebackers can flow from left to right, up and back clean. Because the offensive lineman's job, guards especially, is to get up to the linebacker.
So the linebacker...
And if you're a good nose tackle, you can't let that happen.
So the linebacker is a glamour position.
Oh, he's a pretty boy too. Yeah. I had linebackers I made look pretty.
Who were the linebackers with you?
Oh, man. When I started, when I first got to Green Bay, the middle linebacker was Brian Noble.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it went to Johnny Holland.
Yeah.
Then it went to George Koontz.
Yeah, Koontz. That's right.
Then it went to Bernardo Harris. Then it went to Nick Barnett.
Is it safe to say you didn't have the greatest linebacker crews? Because I don't think any of them made the ring, did they, of honor?
No. Absolutely. No, no. I mean, it's tough to make it, man. But like I said, I made them household names.
Yeah, yeah, you did.
In Wisconsin, I sure did.
Especially our good friend George Koontz.
Koontzy!
Yeah.
I'm gonna get Koontzy on this show,
Doctor,
man.
Dr. Koontz.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Dr. George Koontz.
Yeah.
He's over at Marion College right now.
Beautiful brother, man. Beautiful brother.
Oh, yeah. And one of the funniest, Doc, you haven't seen him like I've seen him. He is one of the funniest dudes walking on two legs.
Well, listen, man, I used to have Dr. Koontz on when I was on the a different radio station, man. He was always a brilliant guy to me. But you say he got a sense of humor too, huh?
Oh, my God. I'm going to tell you one time we was on the plane. Either we was coming back from, I don't know if it was Frisco or somebody. We just whooped up on Frisco as usual.
Right.
And you know how you have a Jonin session, a capping session.
Right.
You know, we just sitting around just talking about each other. I'm going to tell you, Leroy Butler and George Koontz going toe to toe on the plane. If your side didn't bust open laughing, something was wrong with you.
Now, I could see Leroy Butler in that kind of exchange. I really couldn't see Dr. Koontz. That's because I didn't know him.
Don't let that doctor fool you now.
Where was he from?
Huh?
Where was he from?
He went to East Carolina.
I mean, is that where he came from?
Carolinas, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, then yep. That kind of explains it. But anyway, Gilbert, that was a Super Bowl last night, man.
Was it?
A real Super Bowl.
What do you mean real?
Hey, man, you know.
Hey, what do you mean real?
Well, 73 points were scored. That's a lot of points in a Super Bowl, man. I've seen some Super Bowls 14 to 10. You know, and 13-7. I like offense. That's like going to a baseball
game. Of course you do.
That's like going to a baseball game, man, and watching the a 1-0 game, and they say, "Oh, great game." I'm like, man, I want to see that. Hey, I want to see 14-11 in the baseball game.
Nine innings of nothing.
I know. Hey, so what are your thoughts on that game yesterday, man? You played in the Super Bowl twice.
I loved it.
Why?
I loved it, man. It was a great game. It was two teams evenly matched with somebody that had to make a mistake in order to win the game.
Now,
somebody had to make a mistake.
Yeah. Now you say somebody had to make a mistake. Do the defenses force the mistakes sometimes, or just so much pressure? I mean, they played almost flawless football, man.
Well, it was a lot of mistakes, because if you look up, it was supposed to be 21-7.
Yeah, yeah.
At the half.
That's
at
true.
The half.
That's true.
But Jalen Hurts fumbled the ball. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Fumbled the ball. They got the ball. I think it scored on it. It was a lot of miscues first half. Second half, Kansas City showed why they're a championship team.
Yeah, they did.
Andy Reid.
Let me ask you something, man. Momentum. You hear people talking about momentum. Does that really matter in the game, man?
Yes, absolutely it matters in the game. I don't care. Sometimes it's home field advantage, momentum. But when both teams are in a place, it doesn't matter who get the dark jersey or the white jersey. It matters if you can get the momentum of the crowd on your side. And when you got that momentum of the crowd on your side, it's a whole different ballgame. It's a whole different ballgame because you feel like that everybody's in the house cheering for you. So I got to go out and play for them.
So listen,
momentum is key.
Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You know, the Gravedigger wants to hear from you. You know, I guess he want to cast me, you know, to the side. But he wants to hear from you all. You know, Gilbert, you've been to two Super Bowls, man. And is it all the pump and stuff, man, before the game? I mean, do you get so high in, you know, that week before the game that you know, you just get so, when you get out there on the field, you're ready to blow up?
Yeah, man, it's funny. It's how the storylines go during the week. It's a whole lot of storylines going on during the week, you know, especially like this one with the two brothers and then you got the two black quarterbacks and you got, you know, got this, got that. And even off the field stuff with the Michael Irvin situation, everything is, you just want to get to the game. You want to get all that stuff. Okay, that's nice. Now, once them lights turn on, you step on that field, all that stuff don't even matter. It's about who wants it and who wants it the most.
You know, man, you say who wants it the most. I can't believe that Philadelphia's defensive line didn't want it. It's just that, man, Kansas City's offensive line, them boys was, they were there, man. They didn't want to get pushed around.
I'm going to tell you this, Earl. I'm going to tell you this. You raving about the winning team's offensive line. Let me tell you about the losing team's offensive line. When have you ever seen any team go for 4th-and-1 and 4th-and-2 that many times and get it?
Never.
That's what I'm talking about, man. People don't understand. They want to talk about all the pretty boys and my receiver this and my receiver that and da-da-da-da-da. But when it boils up, it comes down to the big boys up front. Grunts, O-line, D-line, getting after it, period.
You know, you know, man, on both sides of the ball, the offensive and defensive lines, man, they were – looked like all pros to me on every position, man. I mean, they were really – it was some of the best line play I've ever seen.
Yes, and that's the thing with the two coaches, especially Andy Reid. They pride themselves on having great offensive lines and defensive lines. You know what I'm saying? And it even up front, if you make a mistake up front, it can be costly. It can be costly to your team. So you got to take your hats off to the both offense, defensive lines in this game because they play exceptionally.
You know, man, when we get back, we got a couple callers on the line.
We got some callers.
Yeah, man. Hey, man, don't be surprised. Act like you've been there before. What did they say?
Huh? Earl, go ahead. Go ahead and finish your monologue, man.
Hey, act like you've been there before. We going to get the call.
Finish your monologue, all man. Right.
We got to go to break right now, man. Act like you've been there before. 844-967-2789. The Grave Digger. Under the Heaven with the Grave Digger and Earl Ingham. We'll be right back.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on Oshkosh Air Support WISS and the Talk of Green Bay WGBW.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With the I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP. We're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast. A blend of clouds and sun today with highs around 43. West winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Lows level off around 25. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Chance of snow. High temperatures reach up to 39. A dusting of snow tomorrow with another 3 to 5 inches Tuesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 36.
From Oshkosh to Green Bay and points north, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
It's about more than just football. It's about life. This is Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Now, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Wisconsin, do you know the opportunity you have right now? Super Bowl was yesterday. A Super Bowl champion is on the line. A Ring of Fame honoree is on the line. And all you got to do is dial 844-967-2789 to get your chance to talk with the one and only Gravedigger. Hey, Tom from L.A., what's going on, man? Look, man, you in L.A., man.
Earl, good morning,
calling?
Gilbert.
Why are you calling?
I know, right?
Gilbert, we going to let somebody from L.A. call?
Yeah, we're going to let him call. Go ahead, talk, man. Don't listen to Earl. Go ahead and talk, man.
It's okay, Gilbert. I used to go to school in Green Bay, so I guess that makes me okay. Anyway, I just wanted to say that first, we the people are the government, ultimately, and we must never forget that. Gilbert, I wanted to ask you a little bit different of a question. First, I thought that I've never seen two teams that have been so ready for the Super Bowl, I think, ever. I just seemed like they were flying all over the place. It seemed like they were, really, really... except for, like you said, a few mistakes. It was a very, very even team. It looked like they're both ready to play. So that was really fun as a sports fan. What I don't like, Gilbert, and I wanted to ask your opinion on it, and yes, this is political, of course, Earl, what isn't with me, is all of this. I would like to see a separation between the military and the military-industrial complex and football. And I have a real issue with the fact of, even them putting Pat Tillman, who they basically set up to be this person that he wasn't. And the things that I saw on the TV yesterday on Fox, I was really there should be a separation between the two, I believe. Because, they say we don't talk about politics and religion at dinner conversations and all stuff. And they say, well, we don't talk about politics and football and everything when it comes to domestic policy. But boy, oh boy, when we talk about the military-industrial complex, we sure definitely throw it in everyone's faces almost constantly.
So, Earl,
your comment or Gilbert?
Well, so Tom, I know that Gilbert does not like to get involved in politics on the show. So, you and I can have that conversation a little bit later.
Then I'll hold my powder for it until next hour or whatever. But
all right.
Gilbert, I remember you guys though when I lived in Green Bay. And one thing Aaron Rodgers needs to realize is that if you don't have an offensive lineman, blocking you, you're not going to go very far. I don't care how much money they're paying a quarterback. He doesn't have a great O-line. which was very, very impressive on the Philadelphia Eagles side with their offensive line. Like you said, fourth and one, fourth and inches, and they went for it even on the goal line. And, you know, that was tough. They were tough offensive and defensive lines on both sides of the ball.
Let's let Gilbert respond.
Thanks, Gilbert. You got it.
Ooh, Tom, a tough customer, ain't he? Lord,
he living,
Jesus.
He living,
in LA, I don't know.
He living in LA.
All I do is play football, man. That's all I do. That's all I can say. I don't know about all that other stuff.
What about the offensive line he was talking about? How good?
But you got to look at it like this, Earl. Like we've been talking about this whole conversation. The boys up front have to be right in order for you to win games. If they ain't right, you ain't right.
Let me ask you something, man. Why does it take so long to pay those boys? The horses don't get the money until later on. You know, it's only a handful of them get the money up front, but the majority of them don't. Would they have to prove who they are before they get paid?
But some guys, some guys can be the great pretenders. You remember that song?
Yeah.
The great pretenders. And you got to put them in certain situations against certain guys and see how they perform. I remember our jobs in training camp when me and Santana and the whole D-line was there. Our job, the coaches would come to us and say, you make sure this guy can make the team. And me and Santana, we done sent a lot of guys packing. we done gave a lot of guys an app on the roadmap. Go home because you ain't ready for this, Junior.
Let's do this. Let's go to Donna. Hey, good morning. Let's go to David from Mequon. Hey, David, how you doing, man? David?
He probably left because Tom took up all the time.
No, he's there. Hey, he's there.
I got two questions for Gilbert. One, what in the world was going on with the field? I mean, it looked like Soldier Field out there. They were slipping and sliding. I mean, that's Arizona. How does that happen? And I saw that the guy that does the sod, this is his last Super Bowl. He's been doing it every year since the Super Bowl, since the Packers were in the first Super Bowl. So I'm not sure, you know, they use some sort of new grass, and obviously that just, the players are flopping and flipping all over the place. The second question is Mahomes. When he got injured right before halftime, I thought, that's in a Mahomes. So what do you think they did to get him, he seemed like he was fine after half. I mean, it's like he could run and do everything. Yeah,
it's
so
a good question, man.
Those are my two questions.
It's a great question, Gilbert. What do they give y'all when you go in there and can't walk and you come back out and you don't feel nothing?
First of all, that sound like that idiot that was talking about football is scripted. First of all, on the field. Turf. On the field, you gotta factor in the weather, whatever it is that make it moisture. You know what I'm saying? But it is your job as a professional athlete to make sure you got the right shoes on. That's why I always went out before every game and made sure that either I got the small cleats or the tall cleats screwed into my shoes, but mid-game, the field is going to change again because everybody's been all over the field, stepping, making holes, doing all that other stuff. So it's your job as a professional to have the right shoes on.
I got to cut you.
Okay.
We got to go to a break. Thank you, Dave. 844-967-2789. We'll be coming to you guys on the phone lines. Under the helmet with the Grave Digger. We'll be right back.
If Friday nights mean fish fries, we're your station. Civic Media for the Fox River Valley.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The announcement Saturday from the Carter Center that former President Jimmy Carter has begun hospice care at 98 years old has led to an outpouring of support. And ABC's Faith Abube says much of the support focused on his post-White House activities.
Now, he was even awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for helping bring peace in international conflicts, promoting human rights and social and economic development. And so many people, from lawmakers to everyday people, are just sending their well wishes on social media. We're told the Carter family is grateful for the concern. And according to Carter's grandson, the former president and former first lady, Rosalynn Carter, are at peace.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken on the sidelines of the Munich Security Conference met with China's foreign minister. It's the first high-level diplomatic meeting since the U.S. shot down a Chinese balloon. The president of Norfolk Southern was in East Palestine, Ohio, pledging support for the community after the train derailment that led to the release of hazardous chemicals. This is ABC News.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
The Devil's Advocates.
Jake from Milwaukee, you get the last word this hour.
Okay, well, Trump is totally innocent. But it's obvious that George Soros, Nancy Pelosi, BLM, with Antifa, and then Hillary's emails, with Hunter Biden's laptop, gas, high, Afghanistan, cut and run. I rest my case, truth.
What about Benghazi, Jake? You forgot Benghazi.
I'm sorry. And Benghazi, I rest my case.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Earl Ingram.
Mandela Barnes.
Yeah, the stories that I've talked about, the stories I share, my own personal experience was not much different from the experience from a lot of other people across the state. People generally want to be able to, you know, exist together in harmony.
Working hard every day to inform, enlighten, and bring our community together. The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's in your mind, Gene of Eau Claire?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really missed you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's in your mind, Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A teenager. Learning the lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
It's time to go under the helmet with the Gravedigger. Once again, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. And the Grave is on the line.
Okay, call in.
Let's do this because we're awaiting his, what would you call him, man? Your right-hand boy or your left-hand boy? Let's see. Reggie was on the right hand.
We would call him the special guest with no brain.
let's see. It's none other than Super Bowl winner and
champion,
Super Bowl champion Santana Dotson. Hey, good morning to you, dear brother. How are you?
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, man. Let me ask you, man, how long did you play with Gilbert?
Earl.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Gilbert.
Hush up, Earl.
Go ahead.
let me do the induction right now. Introduction right. From parts unknown, Harris County, Texas, where you got Starsky and Hutch, where you got Batman and Robin, when you got Crockett and Tubbs, you got Brown and Dotson. Mr. Santana Dotson, how you doing this morning?
I'm good, man. When you got the two dudes you don't want to see walking down the dark alley, when you turn and run the other way. That's what you got.
Hey, Santana, I was trying to explain to Earl. When we was playing, we had a lot of different jobs, right?
Yeah.
So one of our jobs was to send people packing. Them offensive linemen that the coaches come to, just tell them how we used to do it. Just tell them.
Yeah, God, Rob Wolf used to, you know, if we needed a couple of typically interior linemen and he was trying to feel it out, you know, because he wanted a little depth or maybe he was bringing in a new starter on the team. He would kind of pull me and Gilbert aside and say, hey, we got this guy coming in. I want y'all to work him today in training camp or work him today in practice. So, you know, he get a heavy diet of me and Gil for about half of the practice, lining up in front of him, 9-on-7, pass rush, goal line, or whatever drill was going on. And, you know, sometimes you can see those guys so frustrated, damn near crying on the sideline because they just getting the business.
So
and it's like, hey, welcome to the NFL, babe. Come on, get you some.
Let me ask you, Santana, you came from Tampa Bay. You played, I don't know how many seasons in Tampa Bay before you wound up coming up to Green Bay. What was it like leaving Tampa Bay and that didn't have, I guess, that history, and then coming up to Green Bay and getting to play alongside the Gravedigger?
Yeah, well, you know, Tampa had beaches. It had a whole bunch of sunshine and convertible top. But they have no championship rings at the time. So it wasn't a hard decision to go on and make it on up to the frozen tundra. And getting up there and playing along the sides of the Gravedigger and Reggie White and Sean Jones. You know, it was, I think it was one of the best or the best defensive line that I played on in my career. And, you know, the team was led through the defensive line and in the locker room as well as on the field. So it was a great time in my career to play alongside those guys.
Hey, Gilbert, Sean Jones joined y'all. He was the last one of the four linemen, right? I mean,
Santana was.
Okay.
Santana, I'm gonna say this about Santana, man. All them times we kept going up to Dallas, getting our tails kicked and doing this, that we needed a factor to get over the hump. And when they went out and got this pretty boy named Santana Dotson, pretty boy, and he came along this team, he changed the culture of our team. Because now we got a lot of push coming up the middle to chase the rabbit out to those big defensive ends that we had to make sacks. You understand what I'm saying? So I say Santana was the moving factor for us getting to the Super Bowl.
So what did you guys play, man? You played a 3-4 or did you play a 4-3?
No, Earl.
I don't know, I'm asking.
Earl, I'm just a radio talk show host, man. I'm just asking. Hush, Earl. No, we played a 4-3. We played multiple defenses because we had the personnel to play multiple defenses.
Right.
The first, second, third down, we're going to give you that heavy. Third to fourth down, we're going to bring Santana in at the nose, and we're going to give you that that pretty light stuff. You know what I'm saying? The quick hands movement, different things like that. So we was well versed to being able to play those certain defenses because we had the personnel to do it.
So I thought, I know I shouldn't do any thinking, but I thought Santana played tackle and not nose guard.
Didn't you just hear what I just said? Didn't you just hear?
Yeah.
I said if we go to a third down, third and long, they're gonna pull me out and they're gonna put Santana in at the nose technique, because now you got all your pass rushers in, or they can go four man. But we like to go three and put another DB back there so we can really shut your mouth. Santana, please help.
Yeah, it was all adjustments and, you know, just the matchup. So, you know, early downs we ran the 4-3 like Gil is saying, and most times he was a nose guard and I was what you would call a flip tackle, meaning I was a flip three, flipping from, depending on the strength call, to either side of the guard. But Sean and Reggie stayed at the ends. And then if it was down and distance dictating it, second and real long and third and real long, then Gil would be able to go get a glass of water. I'd move to the nose. You'd have Sean and Reggie running the defensive ends, and then you'd have the likes of Wayne Simmons or somebody like that that may blitz and or rush. Or you may have Leroy Butler. You know, he always, during his career, he was always top four or five on the hierarchy as far as sacks were concerned, because he was a DB that played in the box and had a, you know, did a great job at penetrating, blitzing, and putting on pressure on the quarterback as well.
Hey, man, what was it like traveling with the Grave Digger, man? You know, I mean, I got to just imagine, man, that, you know, nonstop excitement.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. I mean, that was, as long as it was a trip built around either car shopping or food shopping, Big Gil was all right. So it was always good to take a trip. You know, it was all about what restaurant we're going to, what, you know, how we're going to have a good time and enjoy the camaraderie off the field.
So you saw the Super Bowl yesterday. What was your take on it?
Man, you know, I thought the matchups were excellent. You know, you had two teams that were pretty much the same from records to quarterback play to O-line and D-line. And when you have that, it generally turns into a call or two. And I think the mishap was the Jalen, who played an excellent game, but he had a fumble turnover that went for a touchdown. Then you had the second half. They gave up a big punt return that went inside the 10. And those two plays were kind of like the equalizers in the game. You know, after that, they had that call that it wasn't very egregious, but that defensive holding call that went against Philadelphia really hurt them in the fourth quarter. You know, it was a 3rd-and-8 call, what they call defensive holding, which then it allowed Kansas City to just kind of squeeze the clock and leave no time left. But in a perfect world, Kansas City would have kicked the field goal, went up, and I would have loved to see Jalen, the possibilities of what he would do with that ball with a 1:45, 2 minutes left on the clock, if he'd be able to get the team down and score in position. That would have been a great Super Bowl. But I thought, you know, I thought from what I saw, it was good, an excellent Super Bowl. And then you have Rihanna at halftime, and ain't nobody going to complain about Rihanna. I know that.
Yeah, well, I am.
Why you complain about Rihanna?
I told you, Santana, I told you you ain't got no sense.
Hey, man.
Why he mad? Because she's with child? What? He don't want her to be? What's the problem?
Well, you know, she's not the Rihanna that we used to see. I guess you could say I'm not the guy. I used to be 10, 12 years ago either. But anyway.
Huh?
Listen, man.
No. Who is? That's been at least 20, 30 years of Rihanna. Rihanna was 16 when you first saw her.
Oh, man. Come on, man. Hey, so
she an island woman. She an island woman on her second child. Cut it out.
Let's change that subject matter. Gilbert, you and Santana, man, ever think about coaching?
Man, we always coaching, man. You're going to always be a coach through life, man. So I got to coach you to act right sometimes, Earl. So, you know, we always coaching.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not anything you ever wanted to get into outside, you know, professionally.
I mean, I love coaching. I can see myself coaching. But right now, at the level we want to coach, it demands too much time. Yeah. We got too much work out here that we need to do as far as helping these kids or doing this, that, or the other. So that's when we become them old men that look like you with the gray hair.
So let me ask you, Santana, because I asked Gilbert earlier. When you lose a game, Philadelphia loss, what are they going through right now, man?
Well, it's tough. You know, you do a whole bunch of soul searching. You know, there are, you know, in a game, there are probably somewhere between 50 to 80 plays. So whether you're on the defense, offense, or special team side of the ball, you're looking at those plays and self-reflecting if you're really a professional. So you're saying, okay, well, if I'd have done my job a little better or possibly made this play or that play, then I'd have put our team in a better position to win. You know, I mean, we went to two Super Bowls, and I just remember flashes and glitter in the Super Bowl we won. But the Super Bowl we lost, as a professional, I remember every play of that Super Bowl we lost, to answer your question. And you look at that, even down the line, 20 or so, 10, 20 years later, you still look at that as like, damn, if I could have just made this play, I'd have put us in a better position to win that game.
So let me ask either one of you guys.
You know, football, it's a sport that it's not like the other professions. So you got one chance, 60 minutes. A lot of it goes into coaching, game plans, preparation. It's not like the NBA and MLB where they've got seven times opportunities to get it right. You know, you can't say after last night, well, you know, we got a couple of days and we'll get a chance to do it again. So there's a part of the NFL that says, hey, 60 minutes, you got 60 minutes to figure it out and may the best man win. And I think that's what makes everybody tune in.
All right, guys, hang on. Got to run to a break. 844-967-2789. The Grave Digger and a little chocolate on the other side. Santana Dotson.
That boy crazy.
That we'll boy be crazy. Right back. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Santana, can you hear me?
Wisconsin's spring primary election is Tuesday, February 21st, and your local civic media radio station will be tracking the results.
Special live coverage starts at 7 p.m., and News Director Terry Bell, with a team of political experts, will be following which candidates, both local and in the state Supreme Court race, move on to April.
Spring primary election coverage live, Tuesday, February 21st, starting at 7, here on your local civic media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
You recall the Capitol insurrection? A post-ABC news poll showed 54% said Trump should be criminally charged for inciting the riot. That's like a litany of criminal allegations against the former president. You can say it's all partisanship and a witch hunt, but there wasn't one credible accusation against Obama during his entire 8-year term. So how Republicans just ignore all the evidence? I mean, he was perpetrating a coup on multiple levels.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. Self-monitoring is power. Visit managerbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with highs around 43. Winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies tonight, lows around 25. Chance for snow tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 39. Cloudy skies expected. A dusting of snow tomorrow with another 3 to 5 inches Tuesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 36.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Who knows what he'll talk about today? Even we don't know. This is Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Now, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, and he brought along a partner, Santana Dotson. We're honored to have both of them on the airways. 844-967-2789 is the number. You can join the conversation. So Gilbert, you and Santana sound like, man, you haven't parted company since you guys played the game. So he's clearly more than just a friend on the football field. Sounds like he's a lifelong friend.
Yeah, Santana, that mole you can't get rid of that's on your back. You know what I mean?
Hey, let's do this. Let's bring in Eric from Wauwatosa. Hey, Eric, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say,
hey,
what?
How are y'all doing? Yeah, former Packer players and Packer fans. I'm a Lions fan, so, you know, I wanted to ask if, first off, let me say one thing, because I can't say much about wins and losses, but I think I remember seeing both of you guys in some Barry Sanders highlights. Anyways,
what's his name?
Go ahead.
Eric.
Eric, first of all, we forgot your name because you didn't even make no sense. Second of all, you forget we the only team that held Barry Sanders to negative yards, fool. And also, when me and Santana played, we never lost to the Lions in Lambeau Field. Now, what you were saying?
I believe the negative 13 carries for negative 1 yards was just before you, right, Gilbert?
No, that was me, baby. That was all me, baby.
Oh, you played in that game. Well, congratulations. That was a heartbreaker for Lions fans. I'll tell you, that was a great game for you guys. But let me say, you know, Rihanna, I didn't pick up real quick on the belly rubs or nothing, and I never liked medley shows. To be honest, it ruined Prince for me. I paid money to go see Prince, and he played medleys, and I was upset about that. But she has a lot of hits, and it was great choreography. So I can't – and to be honest, I almost like it better than when they get the women out there shaking booties, because I'm not really a big fan of that either, because that's kind of demeaning in the end, you know.
Hey, Eric.
But
– go ahead quickly, man. What's your question?
You know, I'm someone who watching sports, you know, like they always talk about that play at the end of the game and all that holding call and all that stuff. But, you know, I thought the biggest play, and I marked it in my head when it happened – was one play prior to that fumble by Hurts. They had that false start when it was fourth and one or third and one. And that brought him back 6 yards or 5 yards. They had third and six instead, and then he fumbled the ball. That was a huge play to me because it was 14-7, and they were rolling. Kansas City couldn't stop them. So that was a big play in my mind, and sure enough, they ended up losing. But also I'd like to say that, you know, the Santana I know is talking about sports stuff, and I don't have anything to compare to y'all's experiences. But I still, to this day, I'm 52 years old, and I played senior year in high school in the state volleyball final, and I still hate on myself for a net violation I made. You know, all these years later, I'm still bugging on myself about hitting the net when I was playing volleyball back in high school.
Okay.
So I totally get that. Happy Black History Month to all you guys, and I like the show. Real quick, though, Earl, did this all come about just from you wondering about Gilbert in that lingerie league? I'll let you guys talk about it on the air.
Hey, Earl, y'all gave this fool too much time. Nick, you get him off, would you? Get him off. Santana, you see what I got to deal with? You see what I got to deal with?
So his point.
Pre-screen your callers, man. You got to pre-screen your callers.
So he did make a relevant point. And that was the mistake that the offensive line or jumped when it was fourth and one.
He's exactly right, Earl. I mean, you know, that's part of the reflection too. You know, as a player, you think back of those. You think back at that play, at that offensive lineman. I think it was the right guard that jumped. So, you know, he's looking at that today. Like, if I just would have, you know, sat still, not being able to move, set in my stance, you know, we'd have been a third and one, fourth and one, and then that fumble doesn't even happen. So I guarantee you, nobody feels worse than him. And then Jalen, you know, he had an excellent game, except for that play. So I'm sure he's rerunning and replaying that, and it was just he wasn't even hit. You know, the ball just kind of slipped out of his hands while he was doing his everyday job. So he's reflecting on that play, and those are the ones that we saw as a casual observer. But, you know, there are 100 plays during that game that you've got guys that are reflecting back now, like, man, if I just would have been a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right, I could have forced this fumble, I could have caught this interception, and my team would have won, because that's how close of a contest it actually was yesterday.
So, Gilbert, how long do you carry that with you, man?
Carry that Super Bowl loss?
If you were the guy, who made the mistake, how long do you carry that with you?
You carry. Sometimes it's like baggage, man. You're going to carry it with you for a long time. You gotta have something to take that baggage off of you. So he might carry that all off season until the beginning of the next season or training camp. It just depends on what kind of mindset that you are in to get rid of.
So there's nothing a teammate can say to you that will ease that pain.
You listening? You can see like I'm looking at you and see your gums bumping, but there ain't nothing coming out. That's how it is sometimes, girl. That's how it is.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, that's just really part of the reflection, man. I mean, you got to have a memory like a goldfish. And I read somewhere that a goldfish memory is 2 seconds. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But, you know, you got to go on to the next play. Don't get me wrong. Or the next game. But the NFL is such a fragile thing. You know, like when I, for instance, I played 11 years and I was naive enough to think that when I came to Green Bay in year 5, I was like, oh, no, we've got the offense, we've got the defense, we've got special teams. We're going to be in the next 3 to 4, out of the next 5 years, I say we'd be in the next 3 or 4 Super Bowls easily. And we got the 2 of them, you know, and what changes is injuries. Everybody wants not only your coaches, they want your players and free agency. So a lot of that is a transition every season, and that hill, that championship hill, becomes steeper and steeper to get back up there every year.
Look, guys, I hate to do this because, you know, unfortunately, you know, we got a time limit on the show.
Civic Media promised you something big to celebrate our new and still growing network of radio stations. When we announced the one-day $1 million advertising giveaway for Wisconsin businesses, you responded.
Just wanted to echo your sentiments about the advertising. That's really a cool deal and really remarkable.
$1 million of free advertising. Now, if you missed this chance to work with our team, go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. One of our local sales pros will get right back to you. Civicmedia.us and sponsorship.
The Devil's Advocates.
Now, we've had Ted Cruz more than once. Once
Very slippery hands.
And once in Ishiwaka, Indiana.
He was so desperate, he literally walked into this diner with families eating and shook every single person's hand, whether they wanted him to or not. And some of the kids were like, what?
Bobby! He was invading lots of bubbles. Bobby, make the greasy man go away! I can smell the desperation, Mommy!
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.